Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 6, Episode 127. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and sitting in once again from my co-host David Todd is Alex Cazora, as he's been doing all summer long. Alex, happy Monday. We're well under 2 weeks now until the Steelers 2016 training camp gets underway in Latrobe, and boy, I cannot wait.
Yeah, Dave, I'm super excited. Yeah, finally getting through this off season, and we're finally going to have some actual things to talk about, which would be a nice change of pace.
Yeah, Lord knows right now we're struggling to find things to write about and get people to comment on and polls. You know, I think our polls have been pretty good overall. We do this every year at this time, and why don't we kind of start right now with one that I posted over the weekend. Interesting topic. It's, of course, Anthony Ciccolo. As kind of expected, the masses seem to think, I think 82% out of 411 voters on SteelersDepot.com, 82% think that Anthony Ciccolo will make the final 53-man roster this year. I think there's a good reason for them going that way. As I kind of highlighted in the 2015 season recap and then the training camp look ahead, Ciccolo is a guy that, quite honestly, I don't think you and I don't think we're overly surprised that after the initial round of cuts were made, even before week one, that Ciccolo was sent, you know, was released and then signed to the practice squad. I know a lot of people like to freak out that time of year thinking, oh, my God, they're going to lose him. You know, but history has shown, and we write about this every year, that normally – only one, maybe two people league-wide are claimed off of waivers during those final round of cuts. So it wasn't a big deal that Ciccolo was released or waived then. He made it to the practice squad just fine. It didn't take long, though, and he was back on the team's 53-man roster, mostly used as a special teams player when he dressed. However, he did log, what was the total amount of snaps?
I think 22 against Cleveland.
Yeah, 22, and I think most of those came against Cleveland. I know a few more came outside of that. He ended up being a little bit better special teams player than what I thought he would initially be. Maybe that weight loss played a role in that. I think he ended the season, his rookie season, with 6 total tackles on special teams. He had 1 forced fumble and 1 fumble recovery on top of that. When you look forward to the 2016 Steelers training camp, you know, it's easy to speculate that he's 5th on the outside linebacker depth chart right now behind James Harrison, Bud Dupree, Arthur Motes, Jarvis Jones. And really, I don't see anybody – I think the 6th guy, whoever the 6th guy you want to say is on the outside linebacker depth chart is probably way away from Ciccolo, if that makes sense. I don't, you know, maybe you consider that being Travis Feeney, the 6th round draft pick this year. To my understanding, Feeney missed some time with some injuries during the offseason practices here, and that could wind up being a big deal for Feeney. You know, it could end up with him being the guy that's waived after the preseason this year and signed to the practice squad. So outside of that, you know, is there any reason to think Ciccolo's not going to make this 53?
No, I think he's got the inside track. I think there's a strong possibility, Dave, that he does make it. I thought Ciccolo, what he did in camp last year, was very impressive, and actually was a little surprised to see him cut – I wasn't too worried about him getting claimed just because, like you said, they rarely ever are. But I thought Chicolo last year had a really impressive preseason. I thought the progression that he showed, I thought the ability to counter his moves and have multiple moves for a guy making a transition and dropping a bunch of weight going from the mid-270s at Miami to 254 in Pittsburgh, I just thought he handled everything smoothly. And if you had watched him in camp, you would have thought he played outside linebacker his entire college career. So I think he's got the inside track to do so. Feeney could be a guy if he's got these injuries still kind of nagging at him, and if he's a guy that gets nicked up, he could be a guy that goes on IR, you know, in training camp. We always see some guys that end up going that route. So maybe he goes on IR, they end up kind of stashing him for a year, he gets healthy, and, you know, Chicolo then really has a strong possibility of making this team. So Chicolo's still got to show it on special teams. You know, he got some play last year, but, and although he made the one forced fumble against, I think, Cleveland or Oakland, I forget which team it was, you know, we got to see more consistency and see where he's getting used and be a multi-phase kind of guy. But I think he can do that. There's no reason not to. The opportunity will be there. So, yeah, I think he's got a strong chance to make this roster.
I want to kind of clarify one thing, and I know you probably didn't mean to phrase it this way, but it's a narrative. It can turn into a narrative that just makes me sick to my stomach. You talk about Feeney and the Steelers stashing him on IR. That is a myth, okay? If the guy's injured, he goes to IR because there's not this, okay, well, we want to kind of redshirt you, if you will, and kind of hide you on IR. I've talked to agents in the past, and if a player, you know, is in you know, has a serious injury, then that's when he goes on IR. Now, if it's not a long-term injury, now, as we've seen in the past, players can get waived injured. They then clear waivers. They then revert to the injured reserve list. And then the teams have, 5 days to work out an injury settlement with the player. Now, you have to remember that, especially when it comes to these rookies and undrafted free agents, these guys are on split salaries, okay, if they go on IR. An agent's not going to want his client to spend an entire season on an IR list with a 2 week hamstring pull.
Mm-hmm. Not right.
Or a sprained knee that's a 4 week injury or something like that. If the player's injured, he'll get waived injured and then revert to IR. Then it's up to the two sides to either work out a settlement. Or the player stays there. And generally, if the player stays there for the remaining, you know, in other words, if there's not a settlement that can be worked out, then it's because the player has a long-term injury, that's going to keep them there for a while. And then you run into the cost effectiveness of, is it better for us to pay this guy a split salary, you know, versus and at least have him on a roster next year, you know, to compete in training camp, or you know, is it better just to release him with an injury settlement? So, I just want to get. I know you didn't mean it, but probably mean to phrase it that way. But to think that teams play games with this injury report, I think people take that, you know, a little bit too far.
Yeah, no, you're right, and thank you for clarifying. Yeah, I meant that in the sense that there would be a legitimate injury, like a Jordan Zumwalt thing, but, you know, where a guy gets hurt and they end up, you know, just not wanting to wait around for him. And so it's not a super minor thing, but it's not a super serious thing either. It's kind of a Zumwalt thing. But you're right, yeah, they're not going to put guys on IR just to put them on IR, because once you do that, the guy can't practice for the entire season. So it's not like he can really improve. Because, you know, when he's on injured reserve, it's not like he can still practice and participate. He can do the mental reps in the film room, but he's not going to get those valuable practice reps. So it's not really an effective strategy to actually literally stash a guy anyway, because he's not going to get the reps that he needs to get better anyway, and you've defeated the purpose of the quote-unquote stashing. So, but just knowing Feeney's injury history and knowing that, you know, he's been dealing with some issues in the spring, you know, we'll see what shape he's in camp. And the bottom line, I think, is that Chicolo definitely has the inside track over Travis Feeney.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I want to see Travis Feeney on the field sooner rather than later, and the hope is, let's just hope he avoids active PUP. you know, here in a few weeks. I mean, we'll know real quick. I mean, either he's on that list when Mike Tomlin addresses the media for the first time from La Trobe, or he's not. If he's not, that's a good sign. I mean, that means he's going to be cleared to be able to practice. But I think it – I mean, who else – you know, and I kind of insinuated this in my training camp outlook post. You know, you have Tyler
Matakevich.
I always get his last name wrong here. You know, even though that he's an inside guy, I mean, this is a guy that could technically, if you throw positional positional numbers out, could potentially compete maybe for Chicolo's, let's call it 52nd or 51st through 53rd spot. But ideally, you would think, I think you have to look at this too from the aspect of James Harrison is not under contract for the 2017 season. Jarvis Jones is not under contract for the 2017 season. Even though Arthur Motes is, how secure is he? I mean, right now you're talking about Bud Dupree and Arthur Motes is really your in addition to Chicolo, are really your only two outside linebackers under contract for 2017 season. So you would hope, think, and you know that Chicolo would at least be a depth guy that you would want to keep, you know, one more season. But plain and simple, he's going to have to impress Danny Smith more than anything else, because we don't expect a guy like Anthony Chicolo to get many more than 25 snaps during the 2016 season, right?
Yep, that's exactly it. Only way he plays is if there's another injury, because you got four outside linebackers that already have their established guys to play a lot of football on Sundays, and that's not going to change. So you want Chicolo to do his work on special teams, and if he ever gets a chance at outside linebacker on defense, and you want him to step up, because you're right. You know, I've said it before, Dave. I think that there's a very good chance, and I think if you had to pick a favorite for next year's draft of who the Steelers are going to take in the first round, it's probably going to be another outside linebacker, just looking at the position and the long-term outlook at it. We really have Bud Dupree, and you know, right now that's about it. So there's some concern there. So maybe Chicolo can show something and alleviate some of those concerns. He might not get a huge chance to do so, but if he does, you want to see him jump on that opportunity, because you get a small window of opportunity in this league for these late-round guys, and either you hit it or you don't. And you know, we'll see if Chicolo gets that chance.
And while we think we know, I mean, going back to training camp and preseason last year, I mean, you got a long look at Chicolo last year, somewhat in the preseason. But I mean, we still don't know really what Chicolo's ceiling is, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just that. It was the preseason. It's training camp. None of that's really going to matter once you throw a guy out there, you know, in AFC North football on a Sunday or something like that. A whole new ball game. So, you know, you try to use some of those clues and read some of those tea leaves about how a guy's playing in the preseason to kind of gauge if he's got a chance. Obviously, you have to do well, because if you don't do well in preseason, you're sure as heck not going to do well in the regular season. But yeah, I mean, this guy's still, I think, largely an unknown.
We should, though, assuming he's able to stay healthy and play in all four preseason games this year, we should have a lot better idea where we could write in pencil what his ceiling is.
I mean, he's going to play a ton. So, yeah, he's going to be one of those guys like your Duran Grants and hopefully your Senquez Golsons and guys like that, because you know James Harrison's not going to play hardly any in practice or in games, maybe the third game a little bit. You know, I bet you Arthur Motes isn't going to see a lot of time in games. So, yeah, I mean, Chicolo's on that right outside linebacker spot. I mean, he's kind of flipped both, but I consider him more of a right outside linebacker. You know, he's going to get his burn.
Yeah, we should. In fact, we should actually see him log snaps on both sides.
Yeah, I think he will. He flipped last year, which was the other impressive thing. I mean, the guy was new to playing outside linebacker, and he's moving left and right. And I thought he was one of the only guys to do so early on. And I think he's an intelligent guy. I think it speaks to that. And yeah, I think you're going to see him on both sides, and that's great for his ability to play and get more reps. You know, if someone goes down on either side, he can jump in. You know, it's not that he has to wait for player X to go down or to get pulled. He can kind of float wherever he needs to float. And so that's going to be, you know, good for his opportunity.
I tell you, when you talk about that positional group as well, too, we already talked about Feeney, and of course we already broke down the positional group as a whole. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm interested to see where L.J. Fort, you know, lines up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yeah, I know he logged some time, a few snaps, I think, last preseason at outside linebacker. In fact, I think he even got a sack against Green Bay from that position. But I think he's a guy that's generally, referred to as an inside guy as well, too, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen him play both. I think in times of training camp last year, he's playing inside. You're right, he did get some outside reps. Matthew Marksy, I think, driving that fan club right now, the LJ Fort fan club bus. So we'll see. I'll have to.
It's not a bad one to drive from a special team standpoint.
It's got some merit. I mean, I don't know. Fort, you know, he got a cup of coffee on special teams at the end of last season once he got called up. But I'm not really ready to say that he's a great special teamer that's a multi-phase guy or anything like that. We'll see what he can do. I'll have to kind of look at the roster and the breakdown and see where they might need an extra guy, because maybe they need an extra outside linebacker, because James Harrison's reps are going to be pretty limited. I'll have to kind of see how the numbers shake up. Trying to think if.
Well, it's going to be nine or ten total linebackers, right?
Well, yeah, for the 53-man roster, yeah, I think it'll be 10. It's just be a question of whether it's going to be like a 5-5, 6-4, similar to what's going on in the defensive backfield.
I will be surprised if it's six outside linebackers, unless a guy like Feeney just lights it up on special teams. And that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, Feeney could definitely make this roster, right? I mean, it's not impossible.
Yeah, I'm not. My money's on the other side now.
But if Feeney makes it, then, I mean, you're only going to keep, I guess, four inside guys, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly. And we think Steven Johnson's going to be one of those. I mean, more of a special teams demon. We know Vince Williams. We can name the four.
Right.
Now can Tyler Matakavich slide in there? If he does as a fifth inside linebacker, it's because of his special teams player, and then that means you're only keeping five outside guys. Personally, I will be shocked if it's 11 total outside. I mean,
yeah,
11 total linebackers.
Yeah,
so.
That's heavy. So really what it boils down to, just to make the long story short, it's Feeney versus Matakavich versus Fort and Jordan Zumwalt versus Jordan Zumwalt first. That's the breakdown. That's how it goes.
Yeah, and I think, in all fairness, I think Zumwalt's battle, has two battles,
yeah,
like you said, himself and those other three guys. So, I wouldn't hold your breath on. I think this is the final year of that fan club.
Yeah.
I'll be glad to get rid of that fan club. No offense to our listeners out there. But to me, you could just kind of see that one coming for a while. Injuries are the main reason I think Money Pit is still on this 90-man roster. Speaking of 90-man roster, I trying to find things to write about yesterday. I wrote about how recent history of the Steelers suggests that the final 53. Will include players not currently on the roster, and we've kind of hinted at this a few times. And if you go back the last 4 years, Alex, the guys, the final 53 in each of the last 4 years has included players that did not spend any time at La Trobe.
Yeah, so, you want me to give you the list, or do you want to say the list and refresh?
Yeah, go ahead and holler them out.
What was it? It was DeMarcus Van Dyke, right? That was one? Yeah, DVD.
Yeah, DeMarcus Van Dyke was in 2012. He was released from the Oakland Raiders just prior to the start of the 2012 season. Then bam, there he is on, on the Steelers. And he remained, even though he was never an asset on really special teams or the defense, very few snaps, I think, that season in the secondary, mostly on special teams. I think didn't Mike Tomlin bench him a couple of games for some penalties in there?
I think so. That sounds about right. So you have DVD, and then the next year you had Antoine Blake from Jacksonville, right? Yeah, he was at UDFA with Jacksonville, so you had him.
Right.
And then the next, what was it, this be 2014, was B.W. Webb, who wasn't he a pre-draft visit the year before? And then he went to Dallas?
It seems like there was a link to him before then.
Okay.
But going back to 2013, though, remember they got Zoltan Mesko
right
after that final cut, and they got Cody Wallace as well,
yeah. Because we thought we thought John Malecki was going to make the roster, the local kid, and then he gets jettisoned out for Wallace. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there were actually three guys on that 53-man roster in 2013 that weren't on the roster during the final preseason game.
Wow, crazy. And then, so yeah, the next year was just BW Webb in 2014, right?
I believe so. My quick research, I believe that he was the only guy.
And then, of course, last year was Ross Cockrell, who was definitely a pre-draft visit the year before. So definitely revisit those old pre-draft visit lists and keep an idea of who Pittsburgh might be looking at, because those are guys that they liked in the past that, you know, don't work out with the team they drafted or signed with, and maybe the Steelers try to give them a second chance.
Jordan Todman and Kashad Lyons were the two others. So last year there were three those are three guys that were probably going to need directions to Latrobe this time around.
Yeah.
Does that mean that does it's much like the Steelers haven't drafted a cornerback in the first round and since.
Yeah,
right. You know how we spouted that stat off quite a bit during the offseason. Past history doesn't indicate that you know we're headed this direction again, but it just goes to show you how the bottom of the 53 really is a fluid situation, and how, quite honestly, most of us will probably be surprised if at least one player is not added after the final round of cuts.
Yeah,
right?
That's definitely it. You know, that's the expectation. You're right. Each year is independent of itself, but you're not going to just ignore, you know, the past, you know, recent history. Pro scouts exist for a reason. They're sending scouts to all these other games, and they're checking these guys out, and they're keeping tabs on, you know, what teams' rosters are looking like and who might get cut and things like that. You know, those guys exist for a reason. So yeah, I think that at least one new guy will be taken from some other roster, some guy that gets cut.
And to further that discussion, let's assume it's two at max.
Okay.
What positions are most likely to be involved?
The first one that came to mind is actually one that a lot of the readers pointed out. I think safety, to get an extra veteran safety in there. And I mean, maybe that's a Will Allen, someone that's not on a roster at all, and they just bring him back. But I think that a veteran safety is going to be in play because if something happens to one of the starters, if Sean Davis isn't quite where you want him to be, or even if Davis is, you want a veteran behind Davis just because you want to keep having that depth. So I think a veteran safety. I had a little more trouble trying to
that veteran safety would have to play special teams though, right?
Yeah, of course. Because they're probably going to be active on game day. It just depends on how, you know, I guess at that point Ventrone would be cut. So I guess you would have, you know, you'd have to kind of go down the rabbit hole and see how the roster would get constructed. But I think just, you know, generally speaking, the safety makes sense. Elsewhere, I was trying to think maybe if LT Walton doesn't pan out and he's just not playing up to snuff, then maybe a defensive end. You bring somebody in there because, I, you know, Newberry's, you know, UDFA and Lyons has been so quiet this offseason that I'm not really sure if there's anything really there with him. So if Walton kind of really, you know, falls out of favor, then I could see a defensive end. You thinking of anything else?
A punter, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Barry Monday, someone's got to come out of that looking okay, right?
Well, we thought a couple years ago coming out of Butler Mormon, right?
Yeah.
That sounds like a law firm.
They were about as effective as a law firm, so yeah, it makes sense.
Let's face it, Barry, you know, you're not going to go to a Pro Bowl as a punter.
No,
So if you can kind of upgrade maybe there, and look, I think Monday. I mean, from not that I spent a lot of time scouting punters. But I think if anybody has a shot of beating out Barry, it might be Monday, right?
Yeah. No, I think Monday's got the bigger leg. I think Barry, you know, his direction, his placement was, I think, you know, his calling card last year. I don't know. I think someone out of that group will do well. I think the team's tired of, you know, going through punters like water. So let me throw this out there to you. Could a third quarterback, if, you know, someone they like really like, someone, Gronkowski gets cut, is that an option?
I will be shocked. I was ringing the bell from that kid from Tulane.
Yeah, Ryan Griffin.
you know, what was it, last year, or really every season,
every year.
Every year, the last two seasons, thinking, and I say ringing the bell, I just thinking, look, maybe this is a guy you bring in, you know, during training camp, or maybe, you know, just to try to give him a little bit of look or whatnot, more than anything else. But at this stage, I think they're married to Gronkowski and Landry Jones right now. However, you know, you hear a lot about Dustin Vaughn and his arm strength, right? So far this offseason. The thing is will we if anybody's going to steal a position, I would think it's maybe him. I'm more excited about Vaughn than I was Tyler Boyd, Boyd. Who's the other backups that float around the last few years?
Oh, and there's been there was Tyler Murphy, who, you know, quarterback receiver last year. Who was the guy? Now make me think. 2 years ago, who was the Brendan Kay.
Yeah. And you know, we heard about him. Strong arm.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit different when you get him on the field there. But the thing about Vaughn is he's actually had a little bit of a cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, he was with Dallas at 53. He was on Buffalo's practice squad. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just throwing names out there basically at this point. But are they really that married to Gronkowski? Can a guy that's thrown no regular season passes, I don't think, and then a couple in the playoffs, can you really be married to that? Someone that you bring in only when he's healthy and you ran out of other options in free agency. Is that really married?
Well, here's the thing that would have to happen, I think. Landry Jones would have to have a phenomenal summer.
Okay.
Rest of the summer. And second, same goes for Vaughn would have to have a hell of a preseason, because let's face it, he's not going to get many. How many – you saw the rotation of quarterbacks at training camp. How many does that number four guy get?
Well, we're spoiling things for our quarterback section, but I wrote about it today. and
we're going that way anyway, right?
Yeah. Last year, Boyd and Murphy each threw fewer than 60 passes. And now, granted, they were kind of going back and forth with reps. So even, you know, with Vaughn comfortably being the number four with no competition, with less practices, though, 18 to 14, I think he's only going to get about 80 throws in camp, roughly 80 throws. Not much.
That's how can you make a club that way, right?
Right. It's just the reps aren't there. I mean, so people talk about, oh, he looks like this, looks like that. So you're looking 80 reps in camp in terms of just attempts. And then, you know, a little bit in preseason, it's not a lot of meat on the bone.
He's going to – and Mike Tomlin joked that no way Landry Jones gets as much work during the preseason this year as he did last year for obvious reasons. A, one more game, and B, they were dead set on playing it. And plus, Gronkowski got injured, and you know, you're not going to play Ben and you know, everything that goes along with that. And you knew that you weren't going to see Boyd or Murphy and all like that. I would like to see – look, if you're not going to play Ben, and if you're going to play Gronkowski sparingly, and if you know that you're not going to play Landry Jones, you know, probably not as much as you did last year, why not give a guy like Dustin Vaughn two series at the end of each game?
Yeah,
you know?
That'd be nice. But just to go back to Gronkowski real quick, I mean, this is his last year with the team, right? He can't keep coming back on these floaty one-year deals, right?
Sure he can.
I don't know. I think this has got to be...
Charlie Batch made a living out of it.
Gronkowski's no Charlie Batch. And so if you see somebody else out there that might have a little bit more long-term value, that can sit as the number three, if you're comfortable with Landry Jones as the number two. And Jones is going to be the number two. Gronkowski's not going to beat out Landry Jones, I don't think, for the number two spot. So Jones is your number two either way. So maybe you take someone that's a little bit younger, someone that you think you can bring back and be your number three. And, you know, it's not like he's going to have to play right away, because there's no scenario where he's going to be playing within the first, you know, month of the season, bare minimum. So I don't know. I just think, you know, I don't think they're married to Gronkowski. I think that he was just the most familiar guy in a bad free agency class and with no other options.
Hold on, let me get my pen and paper out here. Alex thinks Steelers will sign Brian Hoyer.
I'm all for it.
I am too. I see where you're going here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just throwing ideas. I don't know. It's probably, I mean, obviously, odds are it won't happen just because, you know, what are the odds? You know, you pick a name and pick a position, you know, your odds aren't great. But they're not, I don't think they're married to the guy. If someone else is more attractive, I could see it. They were interested in a quarterback during the draft. That was the rumor, right? When they wanted to trade up in the fifth round, that was the rumor. They wanted a quarterback. Isn't that the report?
Yeah, I don't know how much I'm buying into that. But they did look at a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah, they did. A lot of mobile guys.
Throughout the process here. Now, is that something that, okay, I mean, they look at them for a reason. I mean, even if they're not planning on drafting them or they don't think they're going to draft them, they look at them for a reason. So could you see a guy – I just think you're more apt to see some of these guys that they looked at during the off season. Prior, you know, as part of the pre-draft process, as guys that'll be signed to future deals after the season,
right?
Know?
But the one thing I'll say about quarterback though is probably more quarterbacks get released than any other position because most teams are half the league is carrying just two quarterbacks now. So now you're getting a ton of young guys out there that you can choose from. It's not like where it's a wide receiver where everyone's keeping five or six and everyone's releasing the bottom of the barrel. There's going to be probably some decent players with a lot of tape. They get cut because teams are just carrying two quarterbacks now.
In so many words, you're not saying you're going to cut Gronkowski for an inexperienced guy, right? Or would you? In other words, it would be a Hoyer type kind of player.
No, I think it might be the other way. I think it might be someone that is younger, that has shown some good preseason tape, but that might not has done a lot in the NFL. Just because I think Jones is your number two either way, so it's not like your number three guy is in an immediate position to play because Jones is going to be the backup. I don't know. I don't have a great name. I don't think it's going to be a rookie, but I think it might be someone with a light, resume that, could come back next year after a year in the system and give you, a younger guy because that quarterback room is getting kind of old. It's Landry Jones, yeah, but then you got Gronkowski and Ben, a couple of older guys. So I don't know. I mean, Gronkowski has a lot of intrinsic value where he's a great teacher and mentor and, he knows Ben and he knows Landry and that's all well and good. But I don't know. I can see him going with someone, that they think can stick around for 3 years. Gronkowski, I think, is in his last year. So, I mean, I just think, that's a possibility.
And Gronkowski is 33.
Yeah.
So
and the health, physically, he's been, rough the last couple of years. So.
Right. Now, here's the thing is Landry Jones is entering the final year of his rookie deal, too. So even though you think, he'll be back next year, there's no guarantee he'll be back next year.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's someone out there, all it takes is one team to overvalue him and think that he's worth $2.5 million a year.
And what position gets overvalued more than most?
Right, quarterback position.
Yep.
So, I mean, however, do you go into this season with you have to play for this season?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
But obviously if you can upgrade that room, you're going to upgrade that room regardless.
Yeah.
Whether it be I guess in short, it took us 5 minutes to get here, but typical for me.
Yeah.
But I think in short, the only way that Bruce Gronkowski doesn't make this roster is if it's in lieu of somebody like a Hoyer,
okay,
someone with more experience, in my opinion. If you release Bruce Gronkowski during the final round of cuts, what's the likelihood that another team signs him? Prior to week one?
Prior to week one, none. It would just have to be when injuries hit and they're looking for veteran guys that have experience coming off the bench, like a TJ Yates or something like that. So I think he'd be safe for at least a couple weeks.
Right. So now that we've kind of spoiled surprise, we're going to talk about the quarterback positional group now, which we kind of already did.
These are unscripted podcasts, if you couldn't tell.
They really, really are, and I think that's what makes them so tantalizing. I'm going to try to use bigger words in the podcast.
What did they calendar? Was that tantalizing?
One player who is tantalizing is Ben Roethlisberger, and we're not going to add too much in the way of value in kind of breaking down his game, but outside of him staying healthier this year, what things can Roethlisberger improve on?
Not a ton. I know Ben will probably tell you a couple things. Obviously, you want to see the interception rate come down a little bit. I think it will. I wrote today in my training camp expectations. I just hope that Ladarius Green, he doesn't spend most of the camp on Pop, and he's not able to get any sort of rapport, and Todd Haley's not able to start kind of using him in different ways to see how he fits, how he doesn't fit into this offense, and so Ben can get familiar with him. He's called the Ferrari that's locked away. So I hope that Green is there just so Ben can, just finally figure out who Ladarius Green really is and kind of start working towards that, because there's going to be some growing pains. You know, just a new guy, it's a new type of player. You don't know really how all the pieces are going to fit. So, but last year, Ben's stats in training camp, he completed 70% of his passes. He threw 37 touchdowns. He only threw 2 interceptions. I know training camp stats, whatever, but you're not really expecting him to get a whole lot better from those numbers.
Right. And you kind of had a look at the narrative, a few weeks ago about, backyard Ben, and I mean, look, this is a more disciplined quarterback now, willing to stay in the pocket, yet he can still deliver those plays where you immediately go to Twitter and, Ben being Ben, that's a luxury to have. He's obviously not a mobile quarterback outside of the pocket, so I mean you're not going to gain anything that way with him. Still, David, Todd, and I joke about it all the time, though, that Ben still is a quarterback that likes his wide receivers college open.
Every quarterback I think does, but I think just to go back to what you said, Ben will make some of those sandlot kind of plays sometimes, but they're much less frequent than what they were, because Ben's older, he knows about his body, and he's not just a young guy going crazy now. Ben makes his best work from the pocket. He's a precision guy. He showed a better arm last year, and I thought last year he made some difficult throws. I thought he was maybe throwing, not throwing college open as often. He was making some really tight throws in the small window. So, Ben is a precision guy that can, take his 3- and 5-step drop and get the ball out like anybody else in the league. But he can also extend the play if he has to. I think he's in a really good spot right now. I think Todd Haley deserves a lot of credit. I think Ben deserves a lot of credit for the maturity and the evolution that he's shown, because he's got to buy into that and realize that and work at it. I think he's done that year to year. I think Ben, that narrative has to change a little bit. It won't, but it should.
If I had to point out one thing that, I think he needs to improve on, but pretty, probably this far along in his career, it is what it is. But when he kind of moves up and out to his right at times, and he tries to deliver the football more than 10 yards down the field on a slight move, he tends to sail it.
Mechanically, I'm not a quarterback guru, but yeah, there's probably some issues there of just resetting your base and not getting your front leg locked up and trying to square your shoulders up and, all that stuff. Yeah, I think he reverts a little bit to that sandlot football, and I think it can hurt him a little bit.
And then the only other time is him kind of forcing some throws that he knows good and well that that he shouldn't force. The game against Cincinnati, that one to, who was it, Will Johnson, was it?
Yeah, and Sean Williams picked him off.
And it seemed like there was one or two others last year that had you kind of shaking his head. Was one against Saint? I'm trying to think who the other one was.
I really don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Baltimore, maybe. I don't know. Baltimore got him in trouble a lot last year.
Yeah, seemed like one that Jimmy Smith got him on one time as well. But, I mean, look, a lot of teams around the NFL would like to have the problems that come associated with Ben Roethlisberger, which isn't many of them. Bruce Gronkowski, look, I mean, really, what do we know about Bruce Gronkowski during his career with the Steelers?
With the Steelers, not a lot. It's basically we're just working off the same information we had before he came to Pittsburgh. I think mentally, he's a strong guy. He's a solid dude. I think he's a big help as a mentor. I'm sure last year, even though he was on IR, working with Landry Jones, working with Mike Vick, I think he was probably someone that they leaned on a lot. But, you know, that's why I said earlier, he has that intrinsic value. But physically, I just want to see where he's at because the guy's barely thrown a football. I mean, last year in camp, he threw 38 passes. He got a couple of reps in the preseason, and then he gets hurt against the Packers. He hurts his finger, and he's done for the year. So I just want to see physically where he's at. He is 33 years old. He's never been a guy that's had great physical skill set. You know, I want to see him rip the football in training camp and just kind of gauge where he's at and see if he can make some of those difficult throws that all quarterbacks have to do, just because I don't really know much about where his arm is at right now.
Oh, well, really? We don't. I mean, how many snaps did we see him play?
10?
Over the,
I don't even know what it is.
not many during the regular season.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Preseason, he obviously didn't get to play a lot last year during the preseason, so... look, make no mistake, the Steelers can probably win some games with Bruce Gronkowski if they're able to rely on the running game, you know, quite a bit. But, I mean, let's face it, this team's not a Super Bowl caliber team if they lose Ben Roethlisberger, Captain Obvious Saber, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that, but that is obvious. Ben goes down, so does the team.
I mean, the team can win some games, but, I mean, I think it's just a little too much to think that either Gronkowski, Landry Jones, Brian Hoyer, whoever you want to get to bring in here, I mean, definitely not Michael Vick, we know that, is in trouble. Now, is he a guy that could get you through these three or four games of Roethlisberger missing time? Yes. I think he is, although we'll know more, I think, during the preseason. I think because there's some rust on him right now, I would like to see Bruce Gronkowski get a little bit of extended time during the preseason.
Yeah, he needs it. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's no reason not to. You know a lot about Landry Jones, and I think Jones will be the number two, so he's still going to get more reps than Gronkowski, but you need to do a little bit more kind of fact-finding about Gronkowski of where he's at physically and to evaluate him. So yeah, he needs to rep just because he really hasn't played much football in the last calendar year. So, yeah, he's going to need to get quite a bit of playtime.
You think Landry wins the number two job?
Yeah, I think I think they've already basically confirmed. I think Randy Fitchner basically confirmed he's the number two going into camp. And, yeah, I think he's going to hold on to it. I think he's got, you know, physically he's going to be in a better place. I think that he's, you know, played more football. They know more about him. I think he'll level some of the issues out. It's not a lock by any means, but I really think Landry Jones is going to be the number two.
Just better decision-making is what he needs to do.
Landry, yeah, consistency across the board. This is a guy, I know he had a ton of reps last year in training camp, but I'm looking at the numbers again. He threw 10 interceptions last year. The rest of the quarterbacks threw, I think, 7 last year. So, you know, Jones has got to be more consistent starting in training camp. He can't, I mean, and it's not that he's a flighty guy. I think one of the best things about Landry Jones, whenever you kind of hear him talk and you hear coaches and players talk about Landry Jones, is that he's got a really cool head and nothing really bothers him. And he, you know, approaches the same way if he's the backup or going in as a starter. So it's not like he's mentally, you know, not up to the task. I think he is. I think it's the best thing about him. So I think just whenever you see this inconsistency, I think it's just an execution issue where you see him make a dumb throw, force a pass, you know, sail a check down that you just can't do. So I think he's just got to go out there and execute and be consistent. I think that we've seen some good things from him. I think he's surpassed our expectations from where we were a year ago or even leaving camp a year ago. We were still dogging Landry Jones pretty good. But you got to show consistency, make a profit on every snap. I wrote about that today for Steelers Depot. When you show that consistency, you show that you can be trusted and the team will be a lot more comfortable and confident in you.
Yeah, I really would like to see him have a very, very solid preseason. And even though we talked earlier about how he's not going to get as many snaps as he did last preseason, he's going to get enough for us to either have a better feeling in the pit of our stomachs about him being number two or us, you know, who knows, by the end of in the preseason, part of the fan base might be hollering to get Landry Jones locked up before the start of the regular season. I don't think that's going to happen. Landry Jones would be stupid to do that if he has a solid preseason to boot. So, you know, I think he's obviously going to go in, you know, with 1 year remaining, or this year being his final year under contract. And then, you know, just hopefully he shows enough during the preseason to warrant us having talks after the season of whether or not Steelers should sign, Landry Jones before start of free agency goes. So with Vaughn, we pretty much put it out there from what we know about him. Strong arm kid, probably going to be lucky to get 50 snaps during the preseason?
Yeah. I mean, usually they keep that number four quarterback around to the last preseason game. Usually they survive the cut to 75. So he should get a good amount of time in the last game, maybe the whole second half. So he'll get, I think that's where he'll get most of his reps at. But other than that, yeah, his reps are going to be just really, really tough to come by.
How are you doing the first game against Detroit? What's your breakdown of the quarterback usage in that game?
Well, I mean, what they normally do is, you know, Ben might get the first series and then they'll pull him, you know, definitely no more than like a series or two at max. Then I think you probably have Landry finish out the first half. I think Gronkowski probably plays for a quarter and a half, and then I think Vaughn gets the last series or two. That's probably about how it goes.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And, I mean, really, even though you want Gronkowski to knock the rust off a little bit, how much do you want Gronkowski out there behind the third offensive line, right?
Yeah, he's got to do it, though. Someone's got to play out there, and they just – the number four quarterback just is not going to get a lot of reps, even if it sounds nice to think about someone finding the diamond in the rough. If you're not getting a lot of reps in practice, you're not going to get a lot of reps in the game just because you're not ready. So that's the way it goes.
Over, under, total snaps for Vaughn, 50. Go.
Total snaps, so not attempts. This is the preseason total snaps.
Total snaps.
I'll take the over slightly because he's going to get probably like 30 to 35 alone, hopefully, in like the second half of that last game.
You know what? I want to take the over, too.
Okay.
I think I will. I think he ends up somewhere around 70 or 75
Ooh,
snaps.
Okay.
Right around it. I think he's going to play more than what we think he's going to play.
I mean, and this isn't just, you know, the random UDFA like we talked about. This is a guy that had a great career at West Texas A&M. He was in the running. I don't know if he won the Heisman or the D2 equivalent of the Heisman, but he was real close in the running. He was on the Dallas Cowboys. He made their team. He picked up by Buffalo. So he's not just, just guy that came out of nowhere. I mean, he's got a bit of a resume, and, we'll see where that goes. He'll be better than Todd Boyd, I'll say that.
Yeah, much better. If he leads the scoring drive in that first preseason game and Landry Jones does it, look out.
Yeah,
look out. It's going to start.
Who is going to be the camp darling this year? I guess maybe we'll save that to for a later podcast, but who's going to be Ian Wild or something like that?
Yeah, we'll have plenty. We got time to fill here pretty soon on the podcast to talk about stuff like that. One thing, Mike Prasuta wrote about Le'Veon Bell's thoughts on the two running back system on Steelers.com several hours ago. I've already kind of recapped that, given my thoughts on that. It's funny to hear Roethlisberger talk about, well, that's something that we had talked about last year. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do it. That could be a weapon for us, some two-minute drill stuff, some no-huddle stuff, to have both of them on the field. Both of them, of course, being Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. There's been a lot of talk about that kind of this offseason, Alex. I don't discount we're going to see it. Actually, Ben Roethlisberger was wrong. I'm not calling him out.
You're calling him out. I'm saying it.
No. The Steelers offense actually had now this, of course, assumes our charting's right, which I'm pretty sure Matthew Marksey, who does the offense, that is correct. The Steelers ran 13 offensive plays last year that included Bell and D'Angelo Williams both being on the field at the same time. I get where Roethlisberger's coming from, because Ben was only on the field for one of those snaps, but essentially Roethlisberger is right. Something that they didn't get to do. One snap with Roethlisberger, Bell, and D'Angelo Williams is practically them not being able to do that. With that said, we expect to see this, especially early on in the season, right? And especially, as Roethlisberger said, some two-minute stuff. Some hurry-up kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I think it will happen. I don't know what the extent is. I think it can change week to week. There might be one week where you don't see it at all. There might be one week where you see it 15 times. I think a lot of it might depend on how Sammy Coates does. If he's really lighting it up, it might be hard to justify taking him off the field that often. So you might leave him out there more. If he struggles, then, yeah, you might kind of see it as another way to essentially run like an 11 personnel with Bell acting as that third receiver. So yeah, I think it presents new challenges to the defense to see how they're going to match up. You know, do they walk a linebacker out? Are they rolling a safety down? I don't know. I just think it's another thing that you have to game plan for them. I think that you're going to see it a little bit. It's going to be noticeable. I'll say that much.
Let's see. Four snaps came with Vic at quarterback, with two tight ends on the field, and Darius Heyward-Bey being a wide receiver. That was four snaps came that way. Another four snaps came with, let's see, three wide receivers on the field, being Coates, Antonio Brown, Darius Heyward-Bey. I think that. And that was with Vic at quarterback, so it had to happen after Roethlisberger went down. Two more snaps came with Will Johnson, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller on the field, along with Bell, Williams, and Vic. And let's see, Wheaton and Brown, along with Roethlisberger, for one snap. And then the other handful of snaps, one, two, three, four, came, or three of them came with Landry Jones at quarterback. And one of those included two. So they've mixed it up, you know, as far as two tight ends, two wide receivers, one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no way we can get a hard read on this. Who knows? Maybe this next week we'll look at all 13 of those plays. They won't be hard to find for us to see what the Steelers did with those two running backs on field. But, I mean, it's definitely something we're going to see some of. Probably not going to see as much as we kind of think we might see of that. But I would expect mainly to see that kind of stuff earlier in the year as opposed to late, I think, especially if Bell is still kind of getting back into the flow of things with that knee.
I think it's just something you might sprinkle in throughout the year and just constantly force defensive coordinators to have to worry about and think about and game plan for. I think if you keep kind of just sprinkling that threat out there, it's going to be another thing that during the week the guys have to prepare for. Especially, like you said, the Steelers run this out of a bunch of different personnel groups and formations. That's just another headache that defenses have to worry about and try to adjust to.
Put it on film as early as you can, first game or two, because that really forces opposing defensive coordinators to really, you know, scout that with their scout team and all. And more time that you have to spend on things that maybe you don't want to, the less you have to spend on things that you really want to spend it on.
Yeah, and Haley does a great job with that. And maybe it gets to a thing, because like, they did that with package plays last year where they kind of didn't run any for a couple weeks and the teams kind of forgot about it, because usually only defensive coordinators and teams want to look a couple weeks back to start scouting you. So maybe this is a package that goes away for a month and they bring it out for some big, you know, AFC North game or, you know, whatever, some big primetime game, and try to surprise it on you. So I don't know. There's a bunch of different ways you can attack it. I think Todd Haley will do a good job with it. I think he's really creative and does a nice job of knowing when to put in plays and to mix things up and to work one play off another. So long story short, yeah, I think it'll be a silent, effective weapon for Pittsburgh.
Recap us real quick on the training camp fund.
I think we just have a couple new donations in. Again, thank you so much to everybody who's donated. You'll see some of that, you know, once we get to training camp. We'll post that around a little bit. Again, it's just a tip jar. If you really like our work, the work that we put in, you people have been around, you know kind of what we do for training camp, and we have some kind of fun, exciting stuff we're going to keep doing for this year. So it's not necessarily to get us there, because I'm going there no matter how much money gets raised, like I wrote about couple weeks ago, but this is just if you like the work that we do, we certainly appreciate your donation. We have Dave McGarry, Todd, and again, I'm going to struggle with these last names here a little bit, Todd Krasinski, Lewis Grove, who Lewis, longtime follower, Bob Relic, Joey Sanchez, Josh Weiss, Patrick Maiella, and I think that's some of the new people. So again, thank you guys a million, really appreciate it, and camp starting up soon.
And we also the show has received a few donations that I haven't failed to point out and cover the last week or two. Craig Rittenhouse, Thomas Kastner, John Burkett, Israel Pickholtz, and Lawrence Day have all donated to the show's cause during the month of July. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all that, and your continued support as well, too. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow Alex on Twitter, at Alex_Kazora. David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Once again, if you like what we do, go to SteelersDepot.com, hit that donate button up in the navigational bar, or look for the widget in the side sidebar that'll take you to the training camp donations as well too. And until Friday, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.